Wes Gilbertson joins us from the Calgary Sun to talk a little Battle of Alberta. Wes, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
I'm all right. Flame fans, first opportunity to see Dougie Hamilton in a, you know, in a Flames jersey against opposition tonight. I was looking at the defense pairings, and they've got him paired up with Wotherspoon, which obviously isn't going to be the regular season. Who do you see his regular season D partner being?
Well, he started training camp with Mark Giordano, and I think that will turn out to probably be his quote-unquote regular partner. I think we'll, you know, we'll see some maybe creative pairings from the Flames this year, because they really do have five guys that they'd like to see get a pretty even balance of minutes, with TJ Brody, Chris Russell, and Dennis Wiedemann also being in that mix. But I think when you go back at the end of the season and look at all the percentages, I think Mark Giordano and Dougie Hamilton are going to spend an awful lot of time together.
Now, Brody and Englund played a ton together when Giordano got injured, and you know, played over 20 minutes a night in the playoffs. And Derek Englund actually played pretty well. I know advanced stats guys in Calgary were hating him all regular season, but you know, he played some pretty big minutes for them. Is he clearly the number six guy in Calgary this year?
Yeah, he definitely is the number six, and that's been kind of the big, I guess, to-do in Calgary lately, has been, oh, well, you can't make TJ Brody, you know, a third-pairing guy. And when you look at it, Bob Hartley is looking to do a couple of things. He wants lefties and righties, and his lefties being Giordano, Brody, and Chris Russell. And then he also, you know, wants to make sure that he doesn't have a pairing that's two guys that don't move very well. I mean, TJ Brody is an elite skater. It is, you know, by far his best asset, and that's not saying he doesn't have other assets, but I mean, it really is a treat to watch this guy skate. And, you know, Derek Englund, no one's gonna rave about, you know, how fast he gets from point A to point B. So, you know, he does give Brody some, I guess, backup, in the sense that the kid won't be afraid to go when he's with Englund, and I think that's what maybe appeals to Bob Hartley about that pairing early on.
Wes, you know, their defense is obviously the key, is the strength of that team. I don't think there's any debate about that. A lot of people would debate, you know, their defense group top to bottom might be one of the best in the National Hockey League. Goaltending, they've got quite a battle. You've got Hiller, and you've got Ramo, and you've got Ortio, and they're all waiver eligible. You know, Ramo played some games in playoffs. Obviously, I know he didn't start as many games as Jonas Hiller. What do you see happening in the goaltending front for the Flames between now and the start of the regular season?
I think of everything that happened in the off season, that was the stunner for me, was bringing back Kari Ramo on Canada Day. I know a lot was made, obviously, about the Flames being in the mix, or certainly kicking the tires on Cam Talbot. We know that they made calls, or at least, you know, everyone has been reporting that they made calls on different guys. So obviously, they, despite getting good goaltending last year, they weren't totally comfortable going in with the same group of guys. Now they are going in with the same group of guys. I think they have to keep Joni Ortio. They have to give the young guy a chance to prove that, you know, he is an NHLer, and he simply isn't going to get through waivers to get down to the AHL. So to me, Jonas Hiller is probably the likely odd man out. I don't know if that means waivers. You know, I don't know if that means trying to find a location in a trade, which I don't think is going to be very easy to do for a guy on a $4 million salary. So I don't know how they get down to two, but Jonas Hiller to me seems like the kind of outsider in this three-man goaltending mess.
Wes Gilbertson from the Calgary Sun joins us up front for the Flames. Now, you know, playoffs, sometimes it's easier maybe to come in and everybody's fired up. But you look at the lines, Gaudreau, Monahan, and Hudler are playing tonight in Calgary. Do you expect them to be a trio to start the season? Who do you think Bennett's going to play with when opening season starts?
Well, when training camp started, they did have him playing with Jiří Hudler. So kind of the same as Giordano and Brody tonight at the Saddle Dome. I think it's just a matter of giving the fans a look, if that's the right way to put it, at, you know, kind of the key pieces from last season playing in the roles that they were last spotted in. I think Bob Hartley would like to spread out his firepower. I mean, he said as much. That line was great last year. Gaudreau, Hudler, and Monahan accounted for such a huge chunk of the offense for this team. But, you know, with Sam Bennett coming into the league this year, and it's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie, but you do have a chance to be more than a one-line team. You do have a chance to spread it around a little bit. So whether it's Yuri Hudler, whether it's maybe Michael Ferland, if he's able to find some of his offensive touch from junior, maybe it's Michael Frolik. I don't know exactly who he starts the season with, but I do know they want to surround him with some guys who can make that another scoring line. So it will be one of the interesting parts of preseason to see who maybe falls into that role.
Anybody, like, other than Frolik and Hamilton, any other new additions on the Flames this year?
No, not really. I mean, Sam Bennett would be the other one. Yoni Ordio, if you want to count him as a guy who's new because he's on a one-way. But no, Frolik and Hamilton were certainly the prizes of the offseason.
But there's nobody then in the system you feel that's going to push for a job?
The one thing that we saw last year with the Flames is all the kids that were going to push eventually, pushed last year. And so I think what you're going to see is there's certainly this excitement in Calgary about all these young guys and, okay, who's next? And, quite frankly, everyone who was on that next list, I think they earned a job last year. Emile Poirier is a guy who maybe has an outside chance to kind of knock the door down, but I think he still needs some seasoning at the minor league level. So I don't think we'll see a lot of names that we didn't see last year with this team.
I'm sure you've read it all about, the analytics on the Calgary Flames, and that, it's kind of smoke and mirrors. They can't always do that. Obviously, they've got to have better possession, and I think they agreed with that because Frolik's a heck of a possession player, at least historically it has been, and Dougie Hamilton's just an elite defenseman. So the Flames, in their style of play, and to me, the number one thing, they can't rely on the miracle third-period comebacks. I don't think that's sustainable.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't think a team is going to come back that many times again 2 years in a row. It's not something that, and we've heard that early in training camp from these guys. I think they realize that. A big part of why they could come back in some of those games was, they also got some performances from their goaltenders to keep it close so that it was just, one goal down or maybe two goals down. So certainly the additions, like you said, are going to help with the possession numbers. This is a team that wants to play kind of a risky style. They're going to ask their defensemen to push the pace. That's going to result in some turnovers. It's going to result in the puck ending up in your back in your zone sometimes. So I don't think this is ever going to be a team that is a darling of the fancy stats crowd, but certainly they know that they can't do it exactly the same way that they did it last year. And they feel like, both in terms of maturation of some of their young guys and who they add in the offseason, they do feel like they're a better roster. They do feel like they should be able to, get out in front and win some games that way as well.
One last one for you, Wes. So we look at the roster that's coming into Edmonton tonight. Boma, Backlund, and Jones is their best line. Then you've got Klimchuk, Granlund, and Agostino. We know a little bit about them. Van Braven, Elson, Carroll, Mangiapane, Grant, Hathaway. Any of those guys, who's the best prospect of those six?
Oh, they're not, they're not sending the gems of the system to Edmonton tonight. Kind of like me being in your fine city, you got the B team today. But Mangiapane is a guy I'm interested in. He was a late pick. I want to say even the sixth round of this year's draft. But he's a guy who was passed over in his first draft year. He's a guy who scored more than 100 points in the OHL last year. A little guy, I think, listed at 5'9", 5'10", certainly, short and slight, but a lot of talent, so he'll be worth keeping an eye on for sure. The other one that jumps out, not among the forwards, but Oliver Shillington, the young defenseman from Sweden that they took in the second round, certainly a lot of flash and dazzle in his game, and maybe a few turnovers coming the other way as well.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch. The goaltending battle is probably the big one. And I guess lastly, what's Ladislav Smead look like? What's the timeline for him to return?
He's hoping to be cleared by mid-October. So, whether that means regular season games in early November or so, I would guess. They'll take it pretty slow with them. They have a pretty good defense without them. You know, they don't need to rush them back. And second neck surgery, as many people in Edmonton know of his career, there's no sense trying to rush a guy back from that. So he'll get plenty of time, but I bet we'll see him sometime in November.